So we're doing this a little differently this time because we were just inundated with questions for Mayor Cruzan today. So we'll just kind of go from these and see where it takes us. I know you've been in contact with NDOT and the progress of I-69 through Bloomington. Amy wants to know what is being done with the hundreds of trees that have been taken down off of Indiana 37.
I do not know what NDOT does with the trees. Yeah, I will say in terms of the trees, what NDOT does is commit for a 2-to-1 replacement, so that for every tree that's lost, new trees are planted elsewhere in the community. At the state's expense as part of the project. With the project itself, I mean, our biggest concern are the issues that are occurring in Section 4 with soil erosion and lack of adequate controls that are in place. And we're trying to get in front of that with the state, because eventually Section 5, which goes through the city boundaries, will begin, and will begin relatively soon. So. At the same time, we're also working with NDOT. Every month we meet with NDOT to talk about access roads and all the impact that the interstate construction will have, as well as the interstate once it's completed.
Have you had any opportunity to talk to any of those property owners that live along the I-69 route that had to relocate? And have they had a good experience with NDOT?
Well, not all. I mean, I think that, in fact, there is someone who works for the city of Bloomington who is still waiting for those details to be worked out. I think on one hand, there's the understanding that there's many, many properties and many people involved. But at the same time, people's lives have been disrupted. And I can tell you that there were people who even last year were wondering, which school will my child be going to? Because they weren't sure where they were going to be living or when they were going to be able to move. Now what they're finding is they've had to leave their homes, they've sold the homes, but the closings haven't occurred, the payments haven't come through. So, it's kind of your stereotypic bureaucracy. I also know that it's a huge challenge and it's a big project. But again, these are the kind of things that this is all really we were asking for at the time of all the friction in the community about whether or not I-69 was going to be approved. Was let's answer all these kind of questions before we approve the project. We didn't, under pressure from business community, the local newspaper, all the people pushing for I-69 to get done, those questions weren't answered. And now we're seeing the outcome. People are confused as to what's happening with their home, what's happening with all the trees that have been taken down, what's happening with the soil erosion problems, noise, lighting problems, construction disruptions. Those are all the kind of questions, and the biggest questions are still unanswered. And that is, how much is it going to cost to retrofit our roads, access roads that need to be built, access roads we currently have that are going to be cut off, and who's going to pay for it? And again, it's very surprising that we didn't insist that we had the answers to those questions before we moved forward. But we are where we are, so we're trying to make the best of it, and a lot of questions still to be answered.
Amy also asked about the road crossings on the Beeline Trail. There are some places, I guess, where cars can't see pedestrians or bikes that seem to be moving quickly, and was wondering if there were any safety precautions or anything that might change in terms of, and she knows it's kind of no pun intended, but a two-way street. You know, you don't want to put stop signs on every Beeline crossing, but on the same token, she's concerned about safety there. Has that come up at all?
Well, it had, and that, again, we, before the construction, went through every single intersection, and then after construction have gone through and changed some things around, moved the stop signs that are there for bikes and cyclists and pedestrians back a little bit, so there was more notice, more signage. But I'd have to know what, in terms of spots where it's not, the visibility is low, I'd want to know where that is, because I'm not familiar with any place where that's a problem. But certainly we'll go out and take a look at any place that people feel that their safety isn't all that it should be.
Karen would like to know more about if anything will be updated or changed with the parking meter situation. Her main problem is going to downtown churches for funerals and weddings during the week. She might be an older citizen and can't walk from a garage downtown to the church. You've said before that this is an ongoing project. Any updates to the parking?
Well, yeah, I guess in terms of the specifics of that particular question, you know, there are dozens and dozens of cities with meters that have churches in their downtowns, and you know, people seem to be able to manage it. So I'm not sure that Bloomington's any more unique than any other community with that kind of an issue. The other thing is we can't set policy based on the exception. We can't, the number of funerals or weddings in the middle of a week is so small compared to the daily demand that we have for parking downtown that we, you know, we can't set a policy based on one person's need for one wedding maybe once a year. And you know, you hope that no one's having to attend funerals regularly, so it's not something that's an everyday occurrence. Whereas the demand for parking by employees, residents, visitors, shoppers is going up. You know, as I've said, you've heard Joe so many times, you know, there are 1,400 on-street parking spaces. We can't grow our on-street parking, but what we are seeing is a very exponentially growing parking demand. And we're about to see probably five big properties on Kirkwood and 4th Street be developed. And right there is an awful lot of unofficial parking. All the parking that people use at the bank parking lots after hours, those will all be gone. It's going to push more cars to the street. The reason those will be gone is because new buildings are going to be built on them. And when they do, they're going to have employees and customers and residents and residents' visitors. And so you're going to see even more cars added into the mix. And that's what meters was about, was managing parking. What we are doing is working with the Chamber of Commerce, with all the different people, your caller, and a lot of other people having input into the process and trying to come up with ways to make it work even better than it is working. And it is working. I mean, we are certainly seeing the management of parking spaces increase. You know, you can't have more spaces, but you can have more turnover in existing spaces. And it's all what it's about, is getting people to be able to come into downtown, access spaces close to their destination. There are still 550 free parking spaces within walking distance of downtown, including the first 3 hours free in the garages and the parking lots. And so, you know, you're going to see, though, I think some other changes coming up in the next few months.
There was the parking survey. I think more than 4,800 people have responded, but I don't think that has been really released yet, has it? The survey results?
Yeah, we didn't do that.
That was the Commerce.
Yeah, and there weren't 4,800 people who responded.
Okay.
There were 4,800 responses. Okay. We know of a good number of people who responded multiple times, and some people with very adamant opposition to parking meters may have responded many, many times. That's one of the things the Chamber is using as a source of information for ideas, along with the input that we've received, council members receive. It's going to feed, but I can tell you what the general areas are going to be. You'll see changes being proposed in hours of enforcement. You'll see changes in rates. You'll see changes in use of Park Mobile, and that's the app that you can use for parking. And then some, we're going to look for maybe some way to deal with vendors who need to access downtown, for, you know, somebody who's working on heating, air conditioning units downtown and needs to leave their truck on the street. So there are different needs that the business community faces, the downtown needs to have addressed, and so there'll be some pretty significant changes coming.
Okay. We'll jump to Karen. She wants to know if you would consider monitoring the aesthetics of some of the apartment buildings that keep going up downtown. I believe she kind of worded this in contact with the ordinance that passed by City Council last week over the downtown aesthetic in terms
right.
of standardizing the look.
Right.
Is there anything that looks into, she's wondering about the look of apartments.
Yeah, I mean, I have myself mixed opinions about some of the buildings that have been built over the years, and we certainly hear that. You know, there are already some design standards that are in place, and different types of building materials that are prohibited. You saw that debate even come up with the habitat development and what people wanted them to look like and be made out of. So there are probably more restrictions in place than some people might think. What the question might be more about is architectural standards, not just color or building material, although I don't mean to put words in somebody's mouth, but for myself, the concern is not only the appearance in terms of building materials, color schemes and all, it's also the architectural standards. And then the question comes down to, at what level do you want government intrusion into private property rights? This is someone else's property, their money, they're investing in building the building, and you know, should we have the right to tell you when you're building a house, what your house looks like, how it's built? And there is a balance to be had, because then you've also got, well, what's the impact on those in the surrounding property owners, those of us who live with these buildings day in and day out? So what I would encourage anyone who's concerned about that to do is get involved with the Imagine Bloomington process, which is our growth policies plan development. It'll go on through the rest of this year into next year. And those are the exact kind of questions that will be talked about, development policies. And you just go to bloomington.in.gov and look up Imagine Bloomington, and you'll see different ways in which you can get involved.
She also followed up on green space, if there's some type of plan for the green space between these buildings and the road rather than just sidewalk.
Well, you know, the city council years ago, the plan commission years ago, actually in downtown reversed that. They've required building forward standards so that you have those road, the buildings closer to the road don't have parking lots in front of them. And then green space in downtown is a tougher challenge because you've got property values that people are trying to maximize their you know, the value of that of their property. But you've also got the issue of not wanting to have surface parking lots downtown. And then we also, people might forget that the reason we have all the apartment complexes going up in downtown is exactly what people were asking for a decade ago. And that is, we wanted to reduce urban sprawl. We wanted to reduce the need to own a car, to have to go in and out of the downtown. If you wanted, you could live and work in downtown. And so there were policies put in place, laws that were passed that reflected the community's priorities at the time. And that included building up higher densities, and that means more apartments, higher concentration of people, more congestion. I mean, it was an obvious and expected outcome, but now that it's here, now we're seeing the pendulum has swung this other direction. And so that's why you have updates to the GPP every 10 years. And so that's what the discussion is now.
We have a question from Vladimir, and he wants to know about the lack of city bus shelters and if any more are in the works.
Well, again, I'd want to know specific areas that he's asking about, but
He does, actually, the 10th and bypass area.
Yeah, now some of those would be dictated. I'd have to, again, even know where. The only reason I say that is because some of it's state property and we're not allowed to put them on. But there actually are far more bus shelters that have been added in recent years and plans for more. I can't speak specifically to that one, but we'll certainly find out. And anyone who's interested in that can email me at mayor@bloomington.in.gov with suggestions or just questions. About any of these topics, but also about that in particular, and we can get back to them. The Transit Board, again, has public meetings once a month, and that's how they've decided. An awful lot of the new shelters that have been put in place have been based on public desire, public demand.
He also notes some years ago, separate question, Tech Park Boulevard, if you're familiar with that, was dedicated on the southwest side of town that provide access to Wapahani Park. But last year, that right-of-way in that dead-end street was vacated for Hoosier Energy so they could block the street and build their building. Once they're done, are there any plans to restore public access to that road?
I don't believe so. Okay. That was done intentionally for, it's a highly regulated industry, a security-conscious industry. Obviously, because it's a public utility, there are safety concerns for anyone straying onto the property. There are also security concerns that I think rightly the business has. So there aren't plans there. There are other plans to increase access to that whole area, both to Wapahani and to Twin Lakes Rec Center. We've already started on Second Street to put in more side paths. We've acquired more right-of-way. So there will be other means, but it won't be the same one that was there before.
Alan wants to know when construction will be finished on Allen Street Bicycle Boulevard.
I don't know the exact date. It'll be done this summer, and that is actually the reason I hesitate at all to answer is that's going to continue. That Bicycle Boulevard is going to continue all the way from the east side of Bloomington College Mall all the way out to Patterson Drive on the west side and through Bryan Park to the B-line, and it's an extensive project. So that section of it, I believe, is going to be done this summer. But again, if anyone's interested in exact dates, I can get that to them.
Sure. This question probably goes along with this. Greg wants to know where cyclists are supposed to ride. He didn't give any more details than that, but do you have any more progress and updates on projects for cyclists in Bloomington?
Yeah, that's a question that eludes me. I know who wrote the question, and it surprises me that question keeps coming up from the same person. The answer is the same. We've added 23 miles of bike and ped trails in the last 12 months, and with plans for another 10 to 12 more. Obviously, we've built the B-line. In the last decade, in my time in office, we're upwards of 50 miles of bike pedestrian ways that weren't there before, with plans to continue to try to have increased connectivity throughout the city. Oftentimes, when that question comes up, especially from that particular person, it's not about bike and pedways, it's about trying to access existing roads, and that is a bigger challenge. Retrofitting existing roads. You look at Walnut College Avenue. I think it's an intimidating prospect to think of riding a bike on those roads. So, we are trying to retrofit and add bike lanes. That's why you're starting to see the big green patches of paint, is to make everyone. It's not just for the cyclists; it's for motorists to be more aware of the issue and to make it a tamer situation for cyclists to use. But we're going to have a downtown crossing, downtown intersection improvement plan put in place that will be about $500,000+ renovation of downtown for pedestrians in particular. We're always trying to look at if there are particular areas that people feel the need is even greater. We always want to know, but we continue every year to add to the inventory of bike pedways.
And this is the week that you fast all week, right? Because the big event coming up this Saturday, the Taste of Bloomington.
The Taste of Bloomington.
Are you excited about this year's event?
It is. That is a community tradition. And again, I would encourage those of us from Bloomington to take a look at license plates of cars in the downtown area during Taste of Bloomington. The number of people who come in from surrounding counties, that this is really an attractive community for people to visit. That in particular, the Taste, is a magnet for out-of-county visitors, but we also are attracting right now a lot of people from out of state, certainly out of town, for all the different conferences going on in town, camps that are going on at the university, our own events with softball invitationals that occur. I mean, we really underestimate the thousands of people who are coming into the community because they view it as such an attractive place. So the more and more we love this place as a place to live, we need to keep in mind that's what's making it a more attractive place for people to visit, and that's helping the local economy and helps everybody.